Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Jose Albino, your life purpose and empowerment coach, and I am your host for this evening and every other Wednesday here on the Life Coach Radio Network, and in some instances, our sister network, International Life Coach Radio Network as well. I'm hosting from this very cold evening here in New York City. I'm very excited about tonight's show. Simply because I think it's important to really take conscious and continuous steps towards personal development, steps that constantly keep us on our toes and living our best life. It's admirable also to relate to and connect to people who are taking those steps. So today's show is called Purposeful Conversation, A Listener's Personal Story of Development. So I'm honored to have a friend of mine and a friend of the show, Laura Soto, who will speak about her experience as a self-development seeker and an avid student of elevating her consciousness. Tonight, Ms. Soto will speak about her personal life journey so far and how, through many life transitions, she has been committed to doing self-transformational work to ensure that she is living a life that is best aligned with her values, beliefs, and purpose. I will introduce her in a little while. So as typical of my shows, I like to set the tone. I like to start the show with a couple of quotes, inspirational quotes, to aid set the tone for the show and to also give individuals time to join us live if they're going to do so. So today I have a few for you. The first one is by Socrates, the late great Socrates. The first one is, let him who would move the world first move himself. Let him who move the world first move himself. Second is by the author of The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker. If you want to change the fruits, you will first have to change the roots. If you want to change the visible, you must change the invisible. The next one is, if you are under the impression you have already perfected yourself, you will never rise to the heights you are no doubt capable of. That is by Kazuo Ishiguro, who is, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, who is actually the author of The Remains of the Day. The next one is, it bothers me when people have no problem paying for all they can eat, but have problem investing in all they can be. It bothers me when people have no problem paying for all they can eat, but have problems investing in all they can be. And that is by the author of Don't Die Sitting, by Saji Yemi. Lastly, if you want to lead an extraordinary life, find out what the ordinary do and do it. If you want to lead an extraordinary life, find out what the ordinary do and do it. And that's by Tom Ingenberry. And that's the intention of the show, really, to learn from the ordinary people, from ordinary people in hopes of inspiring you to lead extraordinary lives. So I want to thank you and acknowledge you. For all you for listening and joining us and giving us your time for the next 45 minutes to an hour on this Wednesday evening here on Purposeful Conversations, where, again, I speak to individuals about the extraordinary circumstances and personal stories and journeys. If this is your first time listening to the show, again, my name is Jose Albino, and I will be your host this evening. Today we have a good friend of mine, and sister in spirit, Laura Soto, who I've known for decades, and I invited her on the show because she has always been a seeker of knowledge, of ways to find answers to who she was with the goal of being her best self, and she is a listener and fan of the show. So I invited her on the show because, unlike many of my past shows where I've had experts on or other coaches and people who work within the self-development industry and field, I wanted to speak to an ordinary person, right? You know, quote, ordinary person that may largely look like one of the listeners. It is my belief that people sometimes learn better or get better insights that way. But today's show is about self-development, and we are going to talk about what that looks like for her and what that can possibly look like for you as well. Okay, the intention is so, you know, you can leave the show with some nuggets of inspiration and information. Laura will candidly share her journey of thought and ongoing transformation not an easy thing to do because it requires brutal honesty and deep, sometimes murky exploration. Remember, if you have a question for either of us, you can call us at any point during the show at 646-716-9397. Again, 646-716-9397. And, you know, typically when I do have guests, I go into a small soliloquy with their bio and, you know, what they do for a living and what they've accomplished, some of the areas of expertise. But today we're not going to do that. That's Laura's request, you know, she wants to be referenced at, which is very humbling, as a normal professional woman who is simply working towards being a better self emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally. So Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here and very excited to be part of this journey with you and your listeners.
Great. Thank you. So, all right. So why don't we start with, why don't we start our conversation about personal growth and development, self-development, which this show is about. During the past couple of years, you know, our society has been, and our collective consciousness as a society has been moving towards or has shifted in terms of focusing on these constructs, particularly as it relates to living our best lives. Talk to us about your personal journey of being intentional about your self-transformation, something that you started doing many, many years ago when it wasn't that, I guess, chic or sexy to really, really focus on your personal development.
Well, my journey started a long time ago when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I really decided to join organized religion. And I was a very active member of my religion or my group. And really the intention and I think my purpose and really my personal lead has always been to kind of create and develop this relationship with this higher source, understand what love is about, and really be able to kind of reflect that in my life, in my person, be a better person, do better. And I think that some of my experiences within that that group really what propelled me to kind of move forward towards personal development and understanding that in order for me to live a better life and be my best self, I needed to do that work with myself. It wasn't about changing people, what people were doing to me. It was about understanding who I was, where all of these things were coming from myself, and being able to show that growth.
Perfect. Great. So you were in your late teens, you were in an organized religion. You were participating when you were a member of an organized religion where things are really dictated to you, there's some doctrines, there's perhaps ways of being and ways of existing. And you found a kind of nudging within yourself that you wanted to go another direction in terms of, you know, your life path.
Yes, and there were just a few events that kind of led to that. And, you know, it was a really great time in my life. It was an opportunity, as you mentioned earlier. You know, I am a seeker of knowledge, and it was about, you know, having a level of knowledge, a level of just understanding, being able to engage with people and also being part of a group of people, a collective of people that have that like-mindedness. But I did have some experiences which kind of led me in a different direction because I was exposed to kind of what religion can do to people and do to us, and it does become very dogmatic. It becomes a lot of rules and really teaches humans how to be extremely judgmental, even though we're thinking we're showing love. There is a limit to the level of forgiveness where, you know, we're being part of a God who, you know, has unconditional love and forgives everything. So that experience kind of led me in a different direction, seeking really what that abundance of love and forgiveness from a higher source and being a better person and working on self-development led me in a different direction.
So it sounds like your experience, it came to a point where the experience that really did not resonate with you and what you were experiencing in your own life.
No, it didn't. It no longer, I think it served the purpose that it needed to in my life at the point that it went to, and then I needed to move on to the next chapter to continue on that personal growth and self-development.
Perfect. Now, with that journey or that shift that you made in this path from going from personal religion to seeking a more open way of being, what do you think was the most difficult part of your intentionality behind you doing soul searching work and digging through yourself during that time?
I think the biggest challenge is one, being patient. I think in life in general, we tend to be very judgmental of ourselves and unforgiving of ourselves. And I think during the whole process, sometimes you kind of question your decision. And because you've been, let's say, for me as part of organized religion, because you've been with a group of people for so long, you know, it becomes important what they think of you and if they judge you a certain way. And so you then start to judge yourself a certain way because you have a certain level of, you know, belief as well. So I think that that's always been the most challenging part in every step of the way through this journey, and it's understanding, being more forgiving with myself the same way that I would be forgiving with someone else. And sometimes we tend to be a little bit harder on ourselves, and that has been, I think, one of the most important lessons.
So the forgiving piece, correct?
That is correct, forgiveness of self.
Got it. Now, what was the most enlightening you think during that particular process?
For me, it's really the amount of love, no matter what anybody around you does, says, the amount of love that comes from that higher source that we can kind of see in other forms. And I think that for me, that was what I learned. Also, one of the things that I learned that was really very important, that it's about me and that source and that connection and that relationship and really that I am worthy of that. And no matter what anybody says or does, that I am worthy of receiving that love that comes from and the abundance and all the blessings that comes from that higher source.
Very good. Now, it sounds exhausting, right? It's a lot of work. Doing the work is not easy to do. Because it can be exhausting, draining, and sometimes scary, have you ever reached, and necessarily within the particular construct of organized religion, you can refer the question to that piece or any other situation in your life, because doing the work can be exhausting and sometimes scary, have you ever reached a point where you just hit a wall and just show doing the work and really moving forward and trudging through the process of personal development?
Interestingly, I was thinking about it a couple of days ago and last night, how, quote, unquote, the work, takes a lot of forms for different people. There are many people out there, as you mentioned, kind of creating that consciousness and creating the work. And there are times when it can be challenging, and sometimes you don't even make a choice to say, I'm going to put it aside. Sometimes what happens is that life and day-to-day routines and your responsibilities and all those things kind of pull you away from really committing, from that commitment to self. And I think that there have been some challenges where I have a point where I couldn't understand why something was happening or why I was creating a situation and what lesson I was supposed to be learning. And, yes, there have been times when I feel like I've put that work on pause, not by choice, but, again, by just getting caught up in life, and sometimes because you just don't know and you can't control the outcome. And you hit the wall, but I think that when you are intentional and you kind of made that decision in your life to go in that direction, it really does, you really do see the light after you've passed through it. And you really do learn something when you look back at the situation.
So it sounds like it's just like a process that you may be going through anything in your life, and life just happens. So it's kind of so you it sounds like you can make a conscious choice to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. It just kind of, it would just pause sometimes based on the experience that you were going through. It's not necessarily something you consciously made a decision, but it sounds like it was something you were experiencing.
That is correct. I mean, it's not a conscious decision to pause it. Again, it's sometimes, you know, you'd make a choice, I'm going to start meditating, and you meditate for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden you're running late one morning and it doesn't happen, and you're going to, you know, make sure you pray every night, and then all of a sudden you're really tired and you forget. So those little things, and sometimes you have to kind of constantly remind yourself. So, yes, it's an ongoing process.
Got it. All right. Great. So now you and I have spoken about forgiveness in the past, in back-end private conversation, and which is a big topic with people. And I'm of the belief that, you know, when one is doing the work and they're going through their life journey, it also brings up other people and situations in one's life that may require some deep processing and understanding in order to create some personal breakthroughs. You know, sometimes this work of doing the work or personal development is not so personal in the sense that it's not just always about you. It can be related to other people and other situations. Personal growth, has the need to forgive others ever come up for you in your journey? And if so, how did you handle that?
Well, because we don't live in this world by ourselves, it is always necessary to share forgiveness and extend forgiveness. And yes, I have had that experience where, you know, you have to forgive people in your life. And I have had, you know, a lot of experiences where maybe a situation happened and that person is no longer in my life. However, I've had to do forgiveness work around that person. And sometimes there have been situations where, you know, people are presently in your life and you have to extend forgiveness, and then you have to make a choice. Do you want to continue the relationship, or is it worth kind of going through the process of the challenge and the difficult times and the forgiveness work? So there have been instances where I have chosen maybe not to have somebody in my life. And I also have chosen to keep people in my life that were required a lot of forgiveness work to do around. And both are important because without that, you really can't grow personally. And they're the ones that are there to kind of show you the lesson. And it's sometimes not about them, but about the situation that's being created and, you know, and the feelings around it. And it's really very personal. But, yes, there has been a lot of forgiveness work with other people.
Now, people, in terms of forgiveness, you know, I've spoken to a lot of different people, whether it is, you know, because you're going through this particular process or your own personal journey, that they think that forgiveness means that you have to either forget or just we're going to go have dinner together. You know, I forgive you, now let's go have dinner together. We can move forward with this relationship. In your opinion, you know, what is your personal, I guess, for lack of a better word, mantra in terms of forgiveness? People see it differently. Some people believe that you can forgive someone, and that means that you're both going to continue with your relationship together. Some people believe that I can forgive you and I'm going to let you go. In thinking of forgiveness, what is your personal, what are your thoughts in terms of what it really entails to forgive someone? Does it mean have them in your life, get them rid of your life, you know, being part of their life? You know, how has that worked out for you?
Well, I think, I mean, I'm sure I can probably name different people in my life that I've had to, and everybody tends to go to the same thing. Oh, well, I had a, you know, a mean mother and an abandoned, a father who abandoned me. So, you know, those things, I can get into that, typical. But there's always a lot of forgiveness work to do around your caretakers. And it's very possible that, you know, maybe someone passed away and you still have to do forgiveness work. They're no longer in your life, and you do try, you have to forgive them. For me, I've learned that I have forgiven people. Our relationship has not always stayed the same. It has not kept the same form. Maybe it was somebody I dated, and, you know, maybe we just became friends, and it no longer was a romantic relationship. Maybe it's a family member, and I still choose to speak to them from a distance, but, you know, we don't have the same closeness. So, and then maybe it's somebody that I have no communication with at all, whether it be like my father, which I have done forgiveness work around, and we tried at one point, but there is no communication now, and it works better that way, and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So for me, I think the form of the relationship has changed. You don't forget, but you definitely move past it, and you no longer judge them for it, and nor do you hold it against them. I don't look at these people and think of the things that they've done to me. I actually look at them really with a very forgiving and a loving thought. So that's a good thing.
Very, very well said. So now there are people, and speaking, you know, in addition, because we just spoke about forgiveness and how it looks different for different people, right? Whether deciding not to have to, you know, doing the work and saying internally, I have forgiven this person, and decided consciously we're not going to have a relationship because that's the best thing, or some people that you've, you know, had a relationship with and it has shifted, but you still have some sort of, but it's not the same as it used to be. Now, it's a good segue into my next question, or is what I want to talk about, you know, in doing the work and doing this self-discovery. You know, some people think that there's a template, right, that there's a template towards personal development, and as such. So for individuals that raising your consciousness, that may be going to therapy, that may be meditating, that may be praying. I think that many out there believe that there is a template, like I said, a guide that gives us the steps to reach that state of being your best self. How individual is this process, do you think?
I do think that, you know, my challenge, I also work with a life coach, and my challenge sometimes when he and I dialogue is that, you know, I can't create a consistency. You know, I can't constantly, you know, I tell myself I'm going to meditate every day, and I can't create a consistent way or form of showing it. However, I've learned to forgive myself for that, and I've learned to understand that it's not the same for everybody. You know, my grandmother can ask for days at a time, you know, be on her knees for an hour praying 5 times a day. And there's people who definitely can fit into their schedule an hour, 20 minutes meditation in the morning or in the evening. And for me, it takes a different form. I mean, maybe it's my walk and my ride, my commute into work. I listen to my audios. I mean, I read a book that kind of puts me in the mindset that I want to be in, and on my way home. So for me, it definitely, I don't think that there is a template. I think that, you know, we live in a society where our lives are filled with so many things, and we definitely have to find moments when, you know, we can breathe for 5 minutes and be able to be present and aware. And I think once you create that intention, you'll do it a few times a day, you know, in different ways. But for me, I've learned that I don't think that there is a template. I think that we all kind of, we don't necessarily want to fit things to fit our life, because we do have to take the time out for certain specific things. But I do think that that there really isn't a template, and we shouldn't get caught up as, you know, normal day-to-day. We shouldn't get caught up that if we're not doing this, then we're not working towards self-awareness, or we're never going to get there, because, again, it comes in different ways.
That's interesting you mention that. And you know, I tend to agree. I do speak to a lot of people who, you know, meditation means crossing their feet and, you know, putting the position. I personally like to close my hands because they just get tired of, you know, my hands being up. And then once the other day I was reading something and about someone who, when they meditate, they're laying down. I was like, this is more me. And then sometimes I wake up and I'm like, how am I going to meditate today? Sometimes it may be a walk to Starbucks, you know, because I'm going to get something that's really important to me. During that, I really think about what it is that I want to do. Or pray when I'm brushing your teeth. Some people think praying is getting on your knees, and that may very well look at what it may look like for them. We're actually going to, you know, a temple or going to a church. And sometimes you can just pray in the train. They say prayer can be silent, you know. So I ask this question simply because I know there's a lot of people that are new to this thing of you know, self-exploration and how to elevate your consciousness. That, and the whole thing is to really do what works for you, and that there isn't a template, but it's important to start defining what that eventually looks like for you and make it comfortable for you as well.
Yeah, I think that's the key. It's, you know, it's creating that intention and awareness and just, you know, being cognizant of it and making time for it in your day somehow. You know, the form that it takes is different for everyone, but I think at least making the time for it is the important part.
And also, like you mentioned, some, you know, forgive yourself if for some reason you don't make the time for it, because, you know, there's those OC individuals who are obsessive compulsive, and, you know, they may may be something that works for them, but sometimes I forget, and I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to incorporate it into my day? So that's why it's important for us to really start defining, if we are talking about meditation, what, instead of thinking one way, what are the various ways that meditation may look for you? So in the event that you didn't sit down, you know, with your legs crossed, that, you know, if you decide, you know, meditation can be taking a walk in the morning, or meditation for me just means a space of silence where I can be with my thoughts, which can be, you can be in your car in silence, or walking the dog. Okay, so in speaking, we just was referring, so you and I have talked about sacrifice. I'm going to take the conversation, you know, a little bit differently, and making sacrifices in our lives to reach our goals and what it means to us. Share with us your philosophy on sacrifice and how it has played out in your life journey so far.
I think that for me, I haven't made a conscious effort to make certain sacrifices, but I realized that I have sacrificed certain things because of the decisions that I've made, in the sense of moving towards, you know, a spiritual way of living, and trying to better myself as a person, and trying to, not just for myself, for the betterment of my family. And I think with that, you know, you make certain sacrifices, and I think maybe for me it might have been having a family, settling down, and all those things. But, you know, the sacrifice, I've learned you don't necessarily need to sacrifice these things to be on this path of self-awareness and self-growth. I think if you do make a decision, an intentional, you know, decision that that's what you want to do, you have to fit it into to your life. And one of the things I've been learning is, you know, to be more present and not wait until you have something to live life or be happy in the moment, you know, because you're constantly planning ahead, so you feel like you're sacrificing, holding onto something with expectation that something else is coming on, you know, something else is coming on the way if I sacrifice all of these things. But I think that's what I've learned in kind of thinking about some of the things that I think I would have wanted, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that I might not have today. But then I've also have had a lot of things that I have wanted and I no longer want today.
All right. So sacrifice also looks different for different people. So what I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that some people sacrifice certain things, or they believe that if they sacrifice certain things, it's because it's going to lead to a certain outcome. That if I sacrifice X, Y, and Z, then this is going to happen. This is going to lead to that goal, as opposed to letting sacrifice happen organically.
I think so.
I know that, and maybe and sacrifice can be a very big, you know, maybe it's the wrong word, right? You know, it's just something that has a lot of different connotations for people, or maybe has some kind of connection to organized religion, or, you know, something really big. I'm sacrificing, I don't know, my life for my children. You know, I'm sacrificing, you know, I always wanted to be a doctor, but I decided that I'm going to sacrifice that because I wanted that for my children. I think a lot of us put sacrifice in like the penthouse, if you will. So let's take sacrifice for the purpose of this next question, more of things that we give up in order to get to the next level, or things that we give up because we have certain goals, a big or small. So let's just say things that we give up for my next question, and not necessarily sacrifice to the extent of the sacrificial, or something that we give up because it's life-changing. And I know that you're going through this transition now in your life, and I firmly believe that going through conscious life-changing transition periods in our life require some changes, some smaller sacrifices, the things that we give up. And it also requires a very steely decision-making process and determination. Tell us about that in terms of your transition, and what do you think helped prepare people to make such decisions in one's life or in your personal situation? What helped you decide to take the current leap that you're going to talk to us about in a moment? Because obviously I'm privy to it. So I want you to explain a little bit of you know, the little transition, the big transition you're going through, and, you know, some things that helped you get you to that decision process.
So a little bit about what's going on with me. I am relocating from New York to the West Coast in California. I am uprooting all my life. I do not know a single person in California. I don't have friends. I don't have family. I'm actually relocating for work, and there is a colleague who's moving out who's probably going to be the second person I know. So it has been a big change. I mean, I don't know it yet because I'm not there yet. I'll be moving in a month or so, but it will be a big change because I will not have a support system. I will not have family. I will not have friends out there. However, it is a decision that I made very conscientiously and actually with a level of happiness, because it was an opportunity for continued self-growth. I will be leaving a lot of things behind in New York. You know, I was in a relationship, so that definitely has taken a different form. I own a home in New York, and that in itself is going to be, you know, going to be lived in by someone else. I have a dog, which I can't take with me, who I also will be leaving behind. But, you know, I had an experience about a year ago, and the truth is that I realized that I was not being present and allowing myself to really feel all the things that you can feel on a day-to-day. You know, again, I'm a worker. So I'm always getting things done and trying to be responsible and do the right thing, and haven't allowed myself certain pleasures and certain things that I've wanted to do. And talking about sacrifice, you know, I have had to make a certain sacrifices growing up, either because of, you know, I couldn't afford to go to such and such school, I didn't have the time, my situation didn't allow it. So I made certain sacrifices, but you know, there's always certain things in the back of my mind that I wanted to do. So I did, about 8-9 months ago, I decided that, actually a year ago after that experience, I decided that I am going to give it all up, relinquish control of what outcome. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know where I was going to be, what I was going to do. I said, I'm going to rent my apartment. At that time, I did not know I was going to be moving to California. I am going to move back to my mom's house. I was going back to the very basic with a couple boxes, all my stuff in storage, and I said, no longer, I'm just going to be. I'm going to be now, and we'll see where it goes. And although it's very scary to make this change because I'm not going to be with friends and family, it is an opportunity to now learn of myself in a different way and meet different people and grow in a different way, an opportunity to maybe spend some time alone and do that meditating I never did. So I found the courage that I don't think I had before. And it's scary, but it's exciting.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot of change. I mean, you started about a year ago. You know, you have your property. You have your dog, which you adore. You were in a relationship for a while. You know, you decided mom, and we know how difficult that can be, depending on the mom. But it also sounds like you were just open to whatever was going to happen. It sounds like your thought process were that one that you were just going to live in the present. But it also sounds like by deciding that, other opportunities opened up that otherwise perhaps would have not opened up had you still been living with the life that you had before.
That's true. And I think that was something that I learned, that I wasn't, you know, we are very, very fearful of what would happen if we don't control our environment, if we don't have all the things that we think we're supposed to have. And it was just very interesting how when I made the decision, I'm going to rent my place, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, everything unfolded in such a way that was completely unexpected. But was so exciting to see how that higher source has a plan out for you, and that you don't have to worry, you know, about too much other than just putting it out there, putting your intention out there and saying, this is what I want, and, you know, you guide me as to where I'm going to be able to find that. And it's very difficult to have and find that courage, because you're going to have angry people, and I have angry people. And you're going to have people that are, you know, maybe disappointed a little bit, maybe think that you're behaving selfishly and you're not thinking about them, you know. And I'm very sad because I love my family. I'm very close to my family, and I love my dog, and, you know, and I love being with my friends. And so it's very sad for me, but I am very excited at the opportunity and just the allowing of relinquishing control of everything. And even being out there, I'm relinquishing control because I don't even know what's going to happen. So it's exciting, and releasing that fear is really what takes us all to that next step. You know, everybody, it doesn't have to be moving cross country, as we were talking earlier. I mean, it could be something just really very basic, as in, like, you know, I really don't like going to the gym because I don't like people spring on me, or something silly like that. And you might go to the gym and something, you know, completely exciting. You might come across somebody who you never thought you would meet us somewhere else. So it's about really releasing those fears in small ways. And I think that things develop in bigger ways.
That's very interesting, and you're right. I think we were having a conversation prior to this call, and I shared with you my intention of asking this question because, you know, moving cross country is huge. Giving up your family, or moving away from your family and your loved ones, including your dog, that's family. You know, so brothers and sisters, close friends, coworkers, your environment. You know, how to take the train. You know, that's familiar. And my intention behind asking that question is that, like you said, there are people who may be wanting to do something, creating a change in their life, wanting to do something big or small, whether go back to school, in their 50s. And they think that who goes back to school in their 50s. So a lot of our thoughts can be fear-based, and we live under these assumptions and the interpretations, and we have these limited beliefs about what we can and cannot do. So I wanted to use that experience as an example to people who may be listening, who may be operating life or their situation or their life or situation in their life fear-based. But what I also heard is that which leads me to the next question, there was a lot of faith-based intentions behind that whether we call them God or the universe or the source, that it seems to me like the relinquishing that to a higher power and having faith in that is something that also you are falling back on to kind of propel you to move forward with your life.
Yes, I mean, if that is that my faith in that things will work out the way that they need to, not the way that I need it to. And that's, I think that that's the biggest challenge that we all have. I think that we are afraid to do something because what if it doesn't work out the way that we want it to? What if I don't finish? What if I'm not successful? What happens if you never do it? Then you don't know. You could have been successful. You could have been, it could have been great. So I think for me, it's been a combination of the faith and just believing in myself and believing in yourself, having the courage to say, I'm going to live this, I'm going to live this now, I'm going to live this present, whether it's good or bad, I'm sure it's going to be great either way. And that's a hard thing to do. That's a really hard thing to do, to kind of move past that fear, but it's not impossible. It's really, really not impossible. And I know that we all have certain limitations, whether it's, we find that we don't have the resources and we don't have the time. And, but our again, the steps don't have to be that great. You don't have to move cross country. They could be much smaller. And as you mentioned, whether it's going back to school, maybe you're just taking one class. Maybe it's a workshop, not a full class. And it is very challenging, but it can be done if you kind of believe in yourself and find the courage to just take the next step.
Very, very well said. Very well said. Life doesn't have to be about extreme. You can take that workshop. You don't have to go and, go back to school full time. If you want to be a pastry chef, go take a class, or cook, bake for friends, or take a class and then give people pastries for Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Just to take, one of the big quotes that I always say towards the end of the show, which I will be repeating at the end of the show because I think it just speaks to what we're saying. Everyone who got to where they are began where they were. So you've got to simply take a step to get to where it is that you want to be. And by taking that step, you're that much closer to where you want to be. And, I obviously, it's no lie that I worked with seniors for the past 15 years, and I've learned lessons for people who are in their end-of-life issues, and I've had a lot of conversations with them. And no one said, I wish I would have never tried. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not something you say. I should have never tried to do that. People who tried usually say, at least I tried. It may not work the way I thought it was going to work out, but trying is a very powerful thing to do for people who do it. Now, if you had a chance, knowing what you know now, if you look back at 20 years from now, or just you go back a couple of decades from now, one or two decades, what would you think you would tell the 20-year-old Laura? What you know now, taking that into perspective, what would you tell that 20-year-old self? What would you tell that person?
I had a coworker, her and I always had a joke, and I would say, I'm going to dance with my hands up and back, meaning I was going to let it all out and enjoy the moment. And I think that I don't have any regrets. And I wouldn't have done too many things differently. Otherwise, I wouldn't have learned a lot of the things that I know now. But I think I would say to her, not to be so sheltered. You know, I was pretty naive and didn't allow myself to open up myself as far as experiences and different things. And I think that that's the one thing I would tell her, to dance with her hands up and back and just, you know, and really go out there and be brave. And I think that no matter what, she was going to make the same decisions and maybe, you know, fall a couple times, but she would have learned, but at least she would have, you know, she would have danced.
She would have danced. Okay, I like that. So basically, dance like no one is watching.
Pretty much.
Okay. I also feel that they really are, you know, no mistakes, right? And I always typically ask that question to see, you know, it's interesting their response. You know, it's not necessarily about regret, but it's more of like, what would you tell this person that you know now that that person didn't know? So I love asking that question. I love hearing the response. Now, we have a couple of more questions. We're nearing our hour. And, you know, I take this last question, you know, my friend in my head, where she always asks, and I always like to ask this question as well, because it's a very free-flowing, open question that really gives insight into a person's journey so far based on this question. So I think it's a very powerful one, and that is, what do you know for sure?
I know for sure that I have no control. I have no control of the outcome. I only can control my intention. I can control how I respond to it. But I have no control, and it's a wonderful thing, because if we had control of everything and everyone, it wouldn't be so much fun. You know, it wouldn't be such an opportunity to learn and grow. You know, I think that's the one thing I know. And that there is that higher power that has unconditional love and for everyone, and that we too have the ability to show that. That I know for sure.
So that it's relinquish control.
Yeah,
that you don't have control.
Don't have.
Got it. What last words of encouragement would you like to leave our listeners with?
The one thing I think for me is important, and I try to kind of create an awareness of people who I talk to, my brothers, my sisters, to have that self-awareness, you know, to have a consciousness and have a self-awareness that we can be the best self that we can be, that, you know, we can't just say, well, that's how I am, that's my personality. There's always an opportunity for growth, to learn, allow other people to be who they are, and allow yourself to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But always, you know, being nice and showing love and being compassionate about other people. If you don't have malice, I think things will come back to you in a positive way.
I like that. Those are some very powerful words. Very simplistic, but very powerful. And I think that the simple words are really the most powerful words, in my opinion. So thank you for that. Now, I think I generally ask individuals to reference if someone wants to contact them for whatever reason, may have perhaps something resonated with them, perhaps they are going through the identical situation in terms of, you know, moving. What is the best way to reach, or should someone want to reach out to you and to have some, either more questions or to kind of pick your brain about something?
I'm reachable both by email or by phone. Actually, my phone number is 347-844-9179. That's 347-844-9179. And I'm also reachable via email. My email address is lassoandco@gmail.com. That's lassoandco@gmail.com. And I'd be more than happy to kind of, you know, receive calls or emails with anybody who would like to chat.
Fantastic. Thank you, Laura. Thank you for sharing your personal story and for being so candid. I know that in my experience speaking to many people, particularly here on the show, that, you know, I get a kick off my hat to individuals who are so candid, because it's very sometimes very difficult, I've also can understand it's very freeing to kind of just talk about certain things. But you know, thank you for sharing your personal story, for being so candid, for sharing your nuggets of inspirations and insights with our listeners. Wish you the best. Luck moving forward in your future endeavors, which are moved to LA, and I'm sure that your friends and family will now have a place to visit, and I'm sure, no doubt, given, you know, what we discussed and knowing the energy about you and the energy that was coming through this conversation, I think you'll have no problem making authentic friends and creating a family of choice in Pennsylvania. So thank you. I'm sorry. And did I say Pennsylvania? Oh, Lord. I'm in Los Angeles. So thank you, and I wish you luck in your personally and in your future endeavors.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I think you're doing great work, and thank you so much. It's such an honor to kind of be across from you. That's really great.
Cool. Thank you. All right. As for me, you can reach me at info@josealbinolifecoach.com. Visit my website that I am rebuilding, but you still can visit at www.josealbinolifecoach.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter. The handle is josealbinocoach. Also, you can join Life Coach Radio Network tomorrow. I'm plugging my colleague, Coach Leanne, tomorrow here on Life Coach Radio Network at 2 p.m. You can check out Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio for an in-depth description of her show. Again, that's tomorrow at 2 p.m. Again, I want to thank Laura for being with us, and I want to thank all the listeners. I know we had some glitches in the beginning. But until next time, and always, like I said before, always, 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 I think this is, again, the simplicity of certain words, but yet it carries so much weight. It can be so much, so powerful. Again, those who got to where they are began where they were. Anyone who got to where they are began where they were because they took a step, began taking small steps. So whatever you want to accomplish or whatever changes you want to make in your life, big or small, simply take a small step and take action. That hard, I promise. Thank you, and have a good night.